again, we call your attention to the book of Joshua. We're going to be reading out of the second chapter this morning. Might be a good day for it to be youth church this morning, because we realize in this chapter we go a little deep. In this chapter we get a little worldly, and we know something about being worldly, don't we? Come on, church folk. Don't wait to get here Sunday and get holier than thou and act like you forgot who you are. Amen, amen. Let us, if you will, the second chapter of Joshua. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. The Bible reads this morning, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I will not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof." The basis of our thinking this morning from the first verse of the second chapter of Joshua. The Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Supporting scripture this morning, Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. The basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or a subject this morning. The day deliverance came to the house that ain't right. The day that deliverance came to the house that ain't right. The day deliverance came to the house that ain't right. We have embarked off into a new year. And let us be mindful to be about our Father's business. For God knows that there's still a lot of work to be done. As we've been studying in Sunday school this month about commitment, let us find our place in life that we find that we've been blessed by the best. And being that we've been blessed by God, we got to serve and work for him while it is yet still day. There are those of us that are wondering, if I could just be like them, everything would be all right. But if you were able to walk in the shoes of them, you will find that just like in your life, you have some ups and downs. In their life, they got some ups and some downs. In your life, you did some right and you've done some wrong. In their life, they've done some right and they've done some wrong. We got to understand that God made us who we are. And being that God has made us, what we ought to do is just give God the praises while we yet still have a chance. We are here on the second Sunday of the year, and the holidays are well behind us now. And it's time for us to focus on getting to work. It's a brand new year. It's a year where God has given us another opportunity, a brand new time to change and to do the things that he would have us to do. But we got to find our place to be committed. We got to know that now is the time to plan. Now is the time to budget. Now is the time to lay the groundwork. Now is the time to start the legwork. Remember, success comes from commitment and preparation. You cannot succeed in life if you don't prepare yourself. You got to begin to prepare yourself. If you want to be a better person, then you got to work on being a better person. If you want to get closer to Christ, you got to work on getting closer to Christ. If you want a blessing from God, a lot of time we just wait on everything to fall out of the sky. But the Lord said you have not because you ask not. You got to learn how to ask God for what you want. And sometimes some of the things that you want or some of the things that you might need may seemingly be out of your reach. But you got to understand that you serve a mighty God, a powerful God that has all the resources that you need. Whereas there have been, may have been doors that have been closed in your face in time past, don't give up in despair. But have a mindset that I'm going to go on anyhow because one day the right door is going to open. One day I'm going to go through the right door and that's going to be the door of my blessings. One day I'm going to find out that God has something in store for me. That there are those of us that feel like that somebody else got to do it, but there are some things you got to do for yourself. You can't accept no all the time. Even though you may hear no, you can't accept no to be the last say. You got to learn how to say, I serve a yes God. I serve a God that can take something and turn it all around and bring it around to my good. I serve a God that when you throw darts at me, he protects me. He hides me in his mighty pavilion. I serve a God that lets me know that he is always yet by my side. We must also remember the advice of our brother King Solomon that said, lean not to our own understanding, but know that it is the Lord's will that we know more about him. If we would allow the Lord to lead and direct our paths, the Bible declares that he will begin to do the things that needs to be done in our life. He will turn us in the direction that we need to go. But every now and then, what you got to understand is you got to have a little talk with Jesus. You can't just think it on top of your head and feel like this is what I got to do. Before you begin to press out on your mark, you need to have a talk with the Lord. The Bible says, and we said a couple of weeks ago, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things shall be added. Well, if you're seeking God, you need to talk to him a little bit. Tell him all about your trouble. Talk to him a little bit. Tell him about how much you need him. Tell him about the mere fact that you tried to do the right thing. How many of you tried to do the right thing and periodically you've fallen short? How many of you found yourself in life that were trying to do what God would have you to do, but it always seemed like a stumbling block would get in the way? How many of you know that sometimes it seemed like there's a barricade, somebody done built a wall up between you and your blessings, but my blessings are on the other side of that wall, and I got to get to my blessings. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got to do what I got to do to get to my blessings. If it means that I got to humble myself at the feet of Jesus, then I got to stop being so proud. Pride is keeping a lot of us from our blessings this morning. We're too proud to say that we're in need. We're too proud to say that I've done wrong. But it's nothing wrong with being honest with yourself. It's nothing wrong with going back and telling somebody I'm sorry for the thing that come out of my mouth. I'm sorry for the thing that went on in my mind. As we consider our theme this morning, we want to go in a roundabout way to tell you something about deliverance. As believers, we talk about and study how the children of Israel was in bondage and slavery for so many years. Until such a time as the baby Moses, who could tell you something about being delivered. Moses knew something about deliverance. Moses was in jeopardy of losing his life as a baby, but because of the grace of God, Moses was delivered. Moses was delivered for a reason and a purpose, because he was going to be a great leader. He was going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. He was going to get them out of Egypt and take them to a land called the Promised Land. And we got to understand understand that it was promised because it took a long time to get there. It was promised because the God himself said, I'm going to give you this land, but we got to make preparations to get ready to get to that land. We talk about what we left back in 208, but how are we going to get where we're trying to go in 209 unless we talk to the Lord our God all about it? We got to talk to God. Ain't anybody talking to God? We think about it. We think about it. Moses did all that he could. Moses led the people, but Moses could only go so far. He had the people in a position where they had been delivered and they were out from hand of bondage out of Egypt. Now, as the story goes, after they were delivered from Egypt, eventually they found themselves there close and around the banks of the Jordan River. Moses died and the leader he chose was Joshua. And Joshua had the task of leading them over the Jordan River. Joshua, the successor to Moses, was the son of Nun. Joshua's name means God saves. He was a sharp military leader as well. It was his job to take up where Moses had left off and deliver God's chosen people. What is it, if you will, deliverance? Who is it exactly that needs to be delivered? We got to understand that God is a deliverer. Deliverance in one word could be defined as salvation. Because the deliverance means to be set free or to save. So if we have been delivered, we've been set free. If we've been delivered, we've been saved from a whole lot of mess that might have had us rounded up in hell. The day deliverance came to the house that ain't right. Hallelujah, Jesus. For those of you this morning that are dealing with the house that ain't right. In our text this morning, two men are sent to a harlot's house, a house of the night. And you know as well as I do that in that kind of house, something's going to happen that ain't right. I remember as a young boy traveling with my uncles to South Carolina. And on many occasions in South Carolina, we visit family and we'd visit friends, and every time we went to South Carolina, my uncle had to go by a house that they call the house that ain't right. And as children, we thought it was so funny. What kind of house is that you're going to a house that ain't right? Well, this wasn't Rahab's house. I don't know who the owner of this house was, but if you were thirsty, go to the house that ain't right. If you had a jig in your leg and you wanted to dance a little bit, there was a jukebox in the house that ain't right. If you take time to walk around here, even in Lexington, North Carolina, not many years ago when I was a young boy, but today as a grown man, there are some houses that ain't right. There's some things going on in some house that ain't right. But there needs some deliverance need to come by the house that ain't right. What about your house? I believe it was Joshua that said, John, that's for me and my house. We gonna serve the Lord. But there are some folks that this my house. I do what I want to do in my house. Anybody heard that? But how many of you know that you didn't make the tree that made the wood that made the house? How many of you know that you didn't make the mud and the mortar that made the bricks that made the house? How many of you know that even though you made the house payment, you didn't make the roof that made the house? And I heard somebody say that a house is not a home. You better watch the house that ain't right. Now that you know about a house that ain't right, Let's go to Rahab's house. She had a house that wasn't right. But the Bible said Joshua, the son of Nun, sent the two men to the house that ain't right. And it was told to the king. The king of Jericho heard news that two men done come to town. And I heard that they went over to Rahab's house. I need to see Rahab because I heard that they were spies. I heard that they were checking the land out. I heard that they were casing the joint out. I heard that they were looking around to see what our mindset was and what kind of things we had going and what our intention was. I heard that they were looking for some things, and we got to have you to bring those two men out. The Bible says, when he sent and he asked Rahab to bring them out, that she took the two men and she hid them. She said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. It came to pass about the time that you were getting ready to shut the gate. It was almost dark that the men went out, and where the men went, I have no earthly idea. Pursue them. Go after them quickly and catch them and overtake them. The Bible says that she took the men up on the roof. You see, every harlot, every person that lives worldly, they might have an honest profession also. But we find that Rahab was a woman that made linen. She weaved the linen cloth. So she had a reason to have the flax on the roof. You see, you got to understand that when you are dealing with God, the first thing in order to get a blessing is learning how to be obedient, to do what God tells you to do. You see, I believe that Rahab realized she didn't know at the moment that things were going to change in her life. But if you let me use my imagination for a moment, I can see Rahab going on down to her house. It's almost dark. And as Rahab almost gets to the house, these two men that just hit town, they see Rahab and they go to following Rahab. The Bible says that after they got to Rahab's house that she allowed them to come in. Now, think about it for a moment. These are two men from a whole different area. These are Israelites. They were dressed different. They probably talked different. They probably had a little different way that they carried themselves. But to Rahab, they were strangers. But now, Paul tells us this morning that we need to let brotherly love continue. He said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So we got to understand where Rahab is right now. First of all, she is dealing with two strangers. But you got to understand, if you've read the story, if you come on and go with me, I'll share it with you this morning. The Bible said that the men pursued them as they went toward the Jordan Fords. And as soon as they pursued after them, they were gone out and they shut the gate. But before they laid down that evening, the Bible said Rahab came up. She had to have a little talk with the men. So you better be careful how you treat a stranger. You better be careful. Everybody that you don't know don't mean you any harm. There are some folk that you don't know that's going to be a blessing unto you. There are some folk that may never even know your name, but they might be a blessing unto you. And Rahab had the mindset that there's something about these men. They've heard about the Israelites and how God had blessed the Israelites. And here they are set up camp over on the other side of the river. And I can hear them making a whole lot of noise. I can see them seem like they're having a mighty good time. Don't seem like they're worried about anything. So this made the king of Jericho a little nervous. Now, Jericho was a city that was surrounded by a wall. And the king of Jericho, even though he was the king, even though he had a mighty military force, he was afraid of the children of Israel. So I want to know what they're trying to do. I want to know what they're conjuring up. Something is going on out there. They sent some men here to find out what's going on. And I don't know where the men are. Bible says, as we look here in the word of God, she told these men, before you lay down, let me tell you something. I know that the Lord have given you the land. I know that your terror is going to come upon us. I know that you're going to inhabit the land because of your God. We have heard how the God that you serve dried up the Red Sea. We heard how he brought you out of Egypt, and even though they were after you, you still got away alive. We heard of the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, how you've already destroyed them. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did anything remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is a God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. A hollered woman, a woman of the night, but she heard about the power of God. I stopped by to tell Fowl's Chapel this morning that just because you may not be a so-called Christian, just because you're not a deaconess or on the usher boat or there on the choir stand, you might be a woman of the world. You might be a man of the world. But if you ever heard about the Lord and about the power that our God has, you ought to be able this morning to tell somebody my Redeemer lives. The Bible says that Rahab had heard about the Lord. She heard about how much power he had. She heard about how the children of Israel was almost in bondage. They were almost ready to be destroyed. Could have been drowned in the Red Sea. But the God of the heavens and the God of the earth, he split open the Red Sea, parted and let them walk through on dry ground. I thank God this morning that I serve a God that realized that when trouble comes, God is able to deliver you. When heartache comes, God is able to deliver you. I stopped by to tell you this morning that you gotta be ready if you hear about the Lord your God. Rahab hadn't been to nobody's church, but she heard about the Lord. She heard about how much power God had. So she said unto the men of God, she said, I'll tell you just one thing. I'll hide you, but there's a condition behind it. You better save me and my father, my sisters, my brothers, and all that they have. When you come back and take over the land, just don't destroy our lives. The Bible says that the men said unto Rahab, your life for our life. But I got something for you, Rahab. Keep your mouth shut. Don't tell nobody about our plans. Don't tell nobody why we are here. And if you keep your mouth closed, when we come back and overtake the land, I promise you, Rahab, I'll be there. I'll deliver you. They made a pact. You see here in the second chapter, it's when they made the promise to Rahab. But it wasn't until the sixth chapter that she got the deliverance. In the meantime, she held her very own. She didn't give up the faith. She trusted in the word of God. If you say something to somebody, you ought to mean what you say. If you make a promise to God, you ought to mean what you say. The Bible said, they told Rahab that when we overtake the city, just have a scarlet cord hanging there out your window. Let it be by the door. So when the men come by, they'll know that's Rahab's house. Pass by Rahab's house. Because Rahab done been delivered. Deliverance came.
to Rahab's house. It was the house that ain't right. But there was somebody in the house that knew what it was to be right. That knew what it was to trust God. That knew what it was to give it over for the Lord. Rahab got saved. Got delivered from all hurt, harm, or danger. Because she trusted in the power of God. And I stopped by to tell somebody that you better be careful to entertain strangers. For they might be an angel unaware. Don't let nobody come to your door and you treat them less than you want to be treated. You better understand that deliverance can come to the house that ain't right. Deliverance can come to your house this morning. And when God stops by your house, you better open up your heart. Say, oh Lord, come on in my house. Help me clean up my house. I got some things in my house I gotta get rid of. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's time to clean up the house that ain't right. If there's hate in your house, kick it out the door. If there's mischievement in your house, knock it out the door. If there's somebody in your house that don't love the Lord, put them out. Deliverance, deliverance will come if you be a believer. Rahab didn't stop by Fowler's Chapel. She didn't come up and make amends. She did it directly with the men of God. She did it directly. When she heard the word, she let the word minister to her heart. And did not the Bible say that when they heard it, that their hearts even melted. What an awesome God. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. A God that has so much power that he can take a small group of people and overtake millions. Because, you know, sometimes you think you got the upper hand in numbers. But let me tell you something. Where two or three gather in the name of the Lord, he will be their warrior. He will be their warrior, and he will fight your battles. All you got to do is trust in him this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank God. I thank God. Because Joshua realized that before I go in, I better have an idea of what's going on. But I'm not going in by myself. Because somewhere in his head and in his heart, he remembered what God said. God said, Joshua, the same way I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. So don't be afraid. You go lead the people. You do what I tell you to do. Again, obedience brings blessings. If you be obedient to what God says, then all of the blessings, all the things that you stand in need of, God will give it unto you. Hallelujah, Jesus. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But isn't it a wonderful thing to know this morning that Jesus died for your sins and my sins?